Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to this very special RotoViz episode. We're jumping into March Madness. The Sweet 16 is upon us. I am joined by the Colby Dant. You can find him on Twitter at the Colby Dant, or the Colby D, excuse me. Colby's been on the show with us picking college football games before. You can find him over on the College Experience, both football and basketball. And today we've already talked a little bit of CU football because that's what we do. But today we're getting into some March Madness. But before we do that, how's everything been going, Colby? How did you guys? You guys were out in Vegas last week, I believe, for the first two rounds. How was that experience for you?
Oh, it's always a great experience. If you've never done the opening round in Las Vegas, it is fantastic. The only thing that I'll say, and I've done this, you know, a lot for the past, you know, 15, 20 years, is, you know, you just got to be more aware. I'm in my 40s now, man. So, you know, those days of partying and you know, back in my 20s, it worked out then, but now you just got to pace yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to pace yourself. You got to be the smart guy in Vegas. You know what I mean? Maybe go to sleep at 11 p.m. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But it was great seeing the basketball game, seeing the fans, the people with their, you know, whether it was alumni or whether it was people with tickets. You know, I always have this memory in my mind from a few years back when I was there, and a UMBC graduate had a ticket. And, you know, I don't think he knew anything about college basketball. He just happened to be in Vegas with friends, and he went to UMBC, and he placed like a $500 bet on UMBC to beat Virginia on the money line.
That's
and he
hilarious.
Ended up dancing on the bar. Security didn't arrest him. They brought him down. But, like, so I love seeing the energy
amazing.
On that with the tickets. You know, I did not see a Fairleigh Dickinson fan this trip, but – it's always a cool experience to see the energy of people with winning tickets. I saw some people with Princeton money line. That was pretty
That's
cool.
Fun.
Yeah. So it's always good. I recommend it.
I'm sure you saw plenty of people in Purdue gear just walking head down and just slumped over. Charlie
Purdue
Brown
and Virginia and the Virginia fans again, you know, and they had that game. It was, you know, it's, I saw one guy, zip up his Purdue shirt into his windbreaker so that no one could see he was wearing the Purdue shirt after that, like seconds after that outcome, you know, was final.
Yeah, that's sad. I mean, that's what I would probably do. I'd just be like, all right, it's done. I don't want anyone to talk to me. This never happened.
Oh, man. It's actually well thought out.
I felt a lot like him though at the end of that Gonzaga game. I had Gonzaga -4. 4.5, whatever it was. And with 0.7 seconds left, I'm dancing. I finally, maybe I'm back in the positive. I had kept chasing my live bets. I kept being like, surely Purdue is going to come back and win this. So I went big on Purdue. I went big on a few different teams that ended up losing. Cause I was like, of course they're going to come back. They're not going to, and they didn't. And I felt so stupid, but Gonzaga was going to win it all back for me. Cause I did that smart thing where when you're losing, you try to make one big bet to win it all back. And then that stupid three went in. And I was like, of course we're done.
I don't know that I've ever seen that before. I mean, in case the audience missed this, you know, You know how you do the inbounds pass and you protect the ball? You don't touch it, but you protect it.
Just let it roll and roll.
I don't know that I've ever seen it go past half court.
And right.
So the TCU
past people was, celebrating yeah. and high, yes, they were yes. high-fiving each other.
I mean, look, I know you lost money and I sympathize with you, but at the same time, I just have never seen it. It got all the way to the opposing team's basically their 3-point line. And then Damian Ball nailed the three. I mean, I had TCU, so I was very grateful, but I didn't have it wasn't like a bigger play of mine. I just took TCU, but I was very grateful to cover that. But man, I was shocked that they let the ball. Normally, your defender will come up on you somewhere around half court to make sure you pick up the ball so the game's over.
Right.
It didn't happen.
No, they were high fiving each other. It was so good. Oh.
That's anyway. A tough beat, man. That's a really tough beat. I feel bad for you, man.
It's all right. It's all right. We're still here, and that's why I brought you on. I was like, okay, I need Colby to help me out here. So I always listen to your podcast. In fact, last week, every time I publish the podcast, I always like just want to make sure like when it hits my feed, I'll go and listen to it and make sure it sounds good. And the first ad was y'all's podcast, the sports gambling podcast. It was Sean's voice. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. So anyway, I always listen to your podcast, but I haven't this week because I didn't want to have any spoilers for what you're going to share with me today. So I'm looking forward to going through these picks, hearing who you're on. I'll give my leans, but honestly, Colby, you're the expert here, bringing you on for your insight. So, but before we do that, I have a couple of historical trends that I want to throw at you just to kind of, and then ask you if you care about them at all, but,
sure.
15 seeds, I think this is like since 2011 or something like that, but 15 seeds are shockingly 3-0 against the spread in the Sweet 16. I did not know that. Since 2014, one seeds, cover, at a 16-8-1 clip when they've won their previous game by 20 points. So we're looking at like Alabama. Let's see what else we've got here. Underdogs are 49-36-1. Do you care about historical trends? Does this mean anything to you? It's all different teams, different era even. I mean, this is all even before we had crazy transfer stuff because of the NIL deals. Do you care about historical trends? Does that go into your model or your...
If it works for me sometimes, you know, if I'm adding to my reasonings, but I tend to think I watch just an enormous amount of the sport throughout the year. But I will say this, the 15th seed thing is something, you know, we've had three straight tournaments where a 15's beat a 2. And I think that's a direct result of the transfer portal and, you know, maybe even COVID eligibility, because some of these teams are like 25-year-olds. But that is substantial to me. I mean, I don't know that, I know you rattled off the number in the Sweet 16. I don't know if that would be a deciding factor for me, but I it makes me feel a little bit better because of the way I was leaning, if that makes sense. You know, like, if it fits my narrative, oh, perfect. If not, no, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. There is one that we're going to get to. Well, let's get to it right now because we're talking about Michigan State favored against Kansas State. We're going to get right into the picks right here because I want to share this one with you. Everyone knows that Izzo is absolutely amazing. Actually, so I grew up overseas. I didn't watch March Madness for a long time. The first tournament I got into was with Tom Izzo. They had Maurice Ager or Shannon Brown on the team, and they came up against Duke. And they ended up beating Duke. And I just fell in love with Michigan State from that point on. They were like my team. I didn't have a team at the time because I was like in the Netherlands and stuff like that. So I just adopted Michigan State. And then I lived in Connecticut. So UConn also became my team. So those are my teams. But because Tom Izzo is so special, like he is just such an incredible coach. He's an astonishing 6-3 against the spread and 8-1 straight up when he's a favorite. He's favored by 2 right here. And I wonder if the coaching factor, that's a consistent, like he just gets his team up. And when they're favorites, they do an incredible job. So this line against Kansas State is 2. I'm actually kind of leaning Kansas State plus 2, but I'm also a really pessimistic fan. I tend to bet against my team more often than not. But Marquise Noel just looks so good. for Kansas State, and he was so fun to watch. I went into that game not really rooting for State, and then watching him just play and those behind the back passes and no look passes and crazy lay. Like, dude was awesome. So where are you leaning on this one, Colby?
This is actually the game that I want to see most in the whole Sweet 16. And so to let you guys know, I don't know if you guys, you know, me and Sean Green, who's also part of the sports gambling podcast that I work with. So I filled out my Final Four separately. And then I came in, I'm in Vegas, I'm at the Wynn at the Blue Wire Studio, and I'm like ready to reveal it. And then I realized that Sean has the same exact Final Four as me, right? So yeah, then I had already submitted that bracket into a pool that I'm playing in. But then I was like, oh, dude, we can't give away the same exact Final Four. I'm changing my whole Final Four. And then I changed to, so I originally had Michigan State in my Final Four. I changed to another Final Four that isn't as successful because I had Arizona in the national championship, which I didn't have them in the Final Four in the original one.
Oh, that's
and then I put Kansas State in the mix.
All right.
So I picked both sides of this, but I'll tell you this: I'm a bit surprised at the line movement. I think K-State opened up as the favorite. I'm just fascinated by this game. I've said all year that I thought Izzo had the guards he hasn't had in a while. You know, for whatever reason, I feel like the guard play at Michigan State, whether, you know, some of the guys were they always play hard for Izzo, but they just didn't have the skill set that he had back when you look at some of those great teams that he had. You just mentioned one with Shannon Brown. So that was the first thing that really like jumped out to me at Michigan State. But K-State has been, I mean, they were projected 10th in the Big 12. Jerome Tang's in year one, and I love this guy, Jerome Tang, all right, from Trinidad, originally from Trinidad. And first off, love the energy he brought before he ever coached a game. I knew he was a Scott Drew assistant for 20 years at Baylor, won a national championship as an assistant coach. But the K-State football games, they kept showing him in the crowd in like the front row, and he's, you know, going toe-to-toe with the biggest fans there. He's got a beer in his hand. I was like, hey! I like this coach. So I'm really rooting for K-State in a way because, A, I picked it on the bracket that I actually gave away on air. But, I mean, I think it's a game. And I'm shocked. And Keontae Johnson's story has been fantastic with Kansas State, the big man. He hasn't had a great game the past two games, but he's had a great season. If you go back and check out the season, obviously he had when he was at Florida, he had his heart was a big issue in a game.
And
he was taken off on a stretcher and didn't play basketball for a year and a half because he almost died on the court in Tallahassee when he was on the Florida Gators. So seeing his success story come back and now, you know, he's on the NBA radar. I love that story. I think at the end of the day, I think they're the more talented team, K-State, but I Tom Izzo's Tom Izzo. He's a Hall of Fame coach, and I expect this to be a one-possession game with 2 minutes left. I'll take Kansas State in the points, but it would not shock me at all if Michigan State wins this game. I think it's coming right down to the wire. It's at Madison Square Garden. I feel like that's another advantage for Michigan State and Izzo because they play there every year. So I'll take K-State in the two, but I'm not in love with this play.
Yeah. So if you are designating a few units, this probably isn't going to make the final cut.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel a lot better about the other games on the board, I feel like, than this one.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this is we're going to hit my two favorite teams right out the gate here because we got the UConn Huskies up next against a real physical, real talented, very athletic Arkansas team that really gave it to Kansas. Arkansas was really fun to watch. I'm nervous. As a UConn fan, this game makes me super nervous. The line's 3.5, at least last time I saw it. So I lean Arkansas here. But again, that's because I have watched a lot of UConn games this year, but I seem to catch the bad ones. but Sanogo can be a difference maker. He's huge. He can rebound so well. And I mean, UConn right up there with offensive and defensive efficiency. We went through all these stats last week's show, so don't need to go through all that again. Hawkins is heating up. When they let him shoot, he can really be incredible. But I just get nervous. Hurley has had some quick exits from the tournament, and I'm still not 100% convinced that he's a great coach. But Eric Musselman, on the other hand, I think he is really good. So I don't know if there's a coaching advantage there. What are your thoughts? What do we need to know?
I think you hit the nail on the head with the Dan Hurley angle. I'm a skeptic. Now I think he's done a great job getting talent back into New Haven or Stores or what is New Haven, I think.
Stores.
Okay. Yeah. But he has, even when he was at Rhode Island, to me, like, his teams were more talented than a lot of different teams. And I felt like they always hit that wall. Now this UConn team is talented enough to win the national championship. I believe that. Like, when I look at that roster, I go, wow, you know, Sanogo, you know, you said Hawkins,
Jackson's really good too.
Newton, the UCU transfer. They're a really talented team. So I could totally see, you know, them winning the national championship if coached correctly and you're able to make those adjustments in game and stuff, which I always ponder, you know, and maybe Dan Hurley's evolving. I'm not sure, but I can tell you this, Arkansas's analytics, I thought, you know, everyone coming in saying, they didn't have this. You got to throw those analytics out the window. They had so many injuries throughout the year. I feel like it doesn't represent how good they really are. You know, Nick Smith was out for a lot of the season. They had other games where they missed the Mitchell brothers. They've had a slew of injuries. I'm probably forgetting some too. But Eric Musselman can will his team. I was on Arkansas to beat Kansas for that reason, is I feel like he gets the maximum out of his teams.
I was also on that because of your podcast. I listened to your take on that game. I was like, oh yeah, I'll take Arkansas here. That makes sense.
Thank you. And look, I mean, Musselman goes to like the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. It seems like every year. I think the last three or four NCAA tournaments he's been a part of, even when he was at Nevada, he made a Sweet 16. And I think that's part of you know, his thing is like, I think he's very good at just being a coach, making the adjustments. I remember, I think it was the opening round a year ago, they were getting beat down in the first half, and he made great second half adjustments. They ended up winning by double digits, so they came around and actually won by the number that they had. I think they were laying like 11, and they ended up covering because of his halftime adjustments. And I can tell you this team is talented. Ricky Council Jr. is a stud. They got some great guys from the portal. I think gun to the head here, I have to take Arkansas just because I need to see Dan Hurley actually advance past the Sweet 16 for me to be 100% sold. Roster standpoint, I think UConn's the better roster. But I think Eric Musselman's clearly the more proven coach in this matchup.
Yeah. All right. So we're kind of seeing things eye to eye so far. Which is not great because you're picking against my two favorite teams. Thank you very much, Colby.
You can still win. We can still cover, right?
That's right. Let's do that. This one hurts me. I had Memphis in my Final Four and Arizona.
Me too.
You very much.
I had Memphis. I thought Memphis, the one bracket that I gave away, Memphis and Arizona in the Final Four. So, boom. Yeah. And they should have won that game. 1 point lead, 10 seconds left with the ball, and you kidding me?
And you throw it away. It was like Virginia. I was on the opposite, like the San Diego State game, I was so excited. And then the Memphis game, I was just so bummed. But we're not talking about Memphis. We're talking about Florida Atlantic. We're talking about the Owls. They love to shoot the three, but Tennessee is one of the best, if not the best, team defending the three. This is a really interesting matchup to me because the line is set at 5.5. I feel like they want me to take Tennessee. They are tricking me into taking Tennessee. And guess what? It's working. I'm leaning Tennessee. Where are you at here? Am I wrong?
I'm leaning Florida Atlantic because Tennessee lost their leading scorer in their Ziegler. Best shot. Yeah, Zakai Ziegler. And it didn't cost them against Duke. You got to remember, Duke is incredibly young. They had never been in the NCAA tournament. You know, the basically their whole starting or four of their starting five had never played a tournament game. Tennessee had that advantage. Also, Tennessee does have a couple guys that are 24 years old. And that you know what, that still concerns me a little bit in this matchup, because Florida Atlantic, they're not Duke young, but they still are on the rather young side of it. They have a lot of juniors, a lot of sophomores on that roster. But, man, I just believe in the way Florida Atlantic plays the game. All year I've been watching this team. And look, I had Memphis beating them, but I was really disappointed that they were playing each other, because I would have probably took Florida Atlantic in, if they were matched up against another team. I think they're capable because of, and I also think they play a couple teams that play like Tennessee. I think North Texas, that's in the Conference USA, that just beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State in the NIT last night, they play a very similar game that Tennessee does. And Florida Atlantic was able to have success against it. Now, I mean, obviously they also, I think, lost a game to them. But my point is, I like the fact that they get to play a team with similarities to me on the way that they go about it.
And they have a couple extra days to prepare with, you know, the week.
That's huge.
Reinstitute some of those concepts, you know, like they're not learning it all from scratch. They've got some time. Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, at the same time, I mean, I worry about, will the youth play? You know, they're on their third NCAA tournament game ever on these guys on the roster.
Yeah.
I worry a little bit about that, but I just also think that at some point it's going to catch up to Rick Barnes, because Tennessee, I don't think, is the same team without Ziegler. I think they're offensively challenged, and somehow it worked out against Duke. I think they're just due, especially when I'm getting points. And maybe Tennessee wins this game, but especially if I'm getting points, I think I just have to take Florida Atlantic. But I also, I kind of think Florida Atlantic's just a flat-out better team, so I think I'm going to ride it on the money line too.
Oh wow, that's some spicy stuff. Last week I had Justin Perry on the show, and we were talking about how Barnes' record against the ATS is just not great. Like, he just doesn't really perform all that well. So all right, Florida Atlantic is the play here for Colby, and I'm no longer going to bet Tennessee -5.5. I knew they were tricking me, so I'm just thankful that you walked me through it.
If it does hit for you, I would say it would be the experience factor. If it does hit for you, I would say the experience is the one thing I'm concerned about, is they're still young too. And, you know, but Louisiana almost beat Tennessee in the first round. And to me, Florida Atlantic's a much better version of Louisiana.
That's great. All right, we're going to hit the rest of the games right after this quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back, and we get to this is probably one of my favorite teams left. Just love the way UCLA plays. Tiger Campbell is just so fun to watch. And Jay Trey, as I call him, because, you know, Jaime Jaquez Jr., three J's. It's perfect. Jay Trey, that's Got a stick. Like I started calling him that last year and I was like, I need to have a basketball podcast just so I can talk about Jay Trey. Anyway, I really like this UCLA team. The line is, it's pretty tight. It's -2. Last time I saw it anyway. Obviously Drew Timmy, talk about experience. This guy has been here and gotten it done numerous times. He has been really fantastic all season here and doing again in the tournament. Close line. I'm on UCLA -2, but I also really just like this team, and so I don't know if I'm going in with that bias in mind.
No, I'm on UCLA -2, but I'll tell you this. I'm a lot more nervous after the David Singleton injury, and you got the Bonus situation. Is he 100%? Obviously, Jalen Clark is out for the season. I mean, how many more hits can this team take is the question, and, you know, right. The last two times these teams have played in the tournament, they've been absolute classics. That the type of games you would put on ESPN Classic or something, because I'm telling you, that scares me. I liked UCLA to potentially my first bracket. I had them winning the national championship before Sean had the same teams as me. I am concerned, though, about the depth. And I am concerned this is probably a harder matchup than they would face in the next two rounds, potentially. You got, what, a top five defense with UCLA. But like I said, you got their best defensive player is a game time decision. And one of their other star defensive players is a game time decision. That is, that's not including their best defensive player is out for the year. Jalen Clark was their best. I'm talking about, but they have two other really good defenders that,
And they play on Thursday. Day. They don't play on Friday. They don't have an extra day to rest.
Yeah, it's tough. And it's in Vegas, which, you know, I think UCLA will have a little bit, but I mean, those boys in Spokane travel. So I wouldn't be surprised this is 50-50, if not maybe even 60-40. I just think they're experienced, but both teams are experienced. I think the difference is Tiger Campbell. I think the only weakness that I spot through Gonzaga is their guard play. Well, defensively also, but their guard play. And I think Tiger Campbell's going to have a huge day. And I think he will, because I think he's a stud. And I think that's the deciding factor for me. UCLA is the better defensive team. I believe defense travels better in March. So I think the mixture of the elite guard play for the Bruins and defense will be the deciding factor. But hopefully Singleton and Bona play, because if not, that line should be going down, if not.
Yeah, it should be like a pick 'em, probably, really. I mean, we don't have to get into all that, but we'll have to see. I hate those injuries for them. It's going to make it all that more difficult. But I could see the winner of this game, like you said, making a real deep run.
Yeah.
Let's head over to San Diego State versus Alabama. The line here, 7.5. I kind of lean San Diego State. They love to play defense. I think they can slow this game down a little bit. I think Alabama still ends up winning. They might even end up winning. Like when you're watching it, it feels pretty comfortable. Like San Diego State is always just like 6 to 8 points away. But at the end of the game, I think San Diego State keeps it within this number. I do think Alabama, ridiculously talented, but also pretty young. So where are your takes here, Colby?
This game's fascinating to me. So when Alabama has lost this year, they lost to, well, I know they lost to UConn, but it doesn't really fit my model. I think that my model
that was saying, early in the year.
Yeah. They lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Texas A&M. They lost to Tennessee. They almost lost to Mississippi State in Tuscaloosa. Those four teams all have a similar game style that they play. They're great defensive teams. They're also very slow. And by being that slow, you make a team like Alabama have to be perfect on their possessions, which they're kind of known for running up the court and shooting a bunch of shots and getting offensive rebounds and kind of organized confusion. You know what I mean? Like kind of like, let's just run around and I think when you have a slow, methodical team like that, that is great in transition defense, I think it gives them problems. You know, now they were still able to beat Mississippi State. They beat Texas A&M one of the or in the other game. So I'm not saying this is a sure thing that San Diego State's going to win on the money line, but San Diego State plays that way. They're 175th in pace, and they're an elite defensive team that just doesn't, you know, they don't kill you all offensively with turnovers and stuff. So San Diego State also, to me, they're athletic, just like all those teams I mentioned. You know, they got they're deep. They're 10 deep. So I do like the Aztecs to cover this. I wonder if Bama has learned throughout the year how to, you know, the last time they played A&M, they did beat them. And maybe they've started to learn how to succeed against these teams that want to slow you down and grind it out. But I still think okay, so Nate Oates runs the Paul Westhead philosophy offense. It just run up and shoot, and you know the more shots you get, the more percentage of the ball is going to go in the bucket. I still don't know if that will really win in March. And you know, I know he's gotten this far, but you know, what was it, Corpus Christi in Maryland? I don't know. Yeah. I think, you know, as the stakes get higher, I'm a little more reluctant to believe that will work. You got the one seed this year, and credit to you for that. But I think San Diego State could catch them. And I think this could be a close game. Now, obviously, Brandon Miller's a stud, will be a top five draft pick. So even if it's a close game, they do have a shot creator that San Diego State does not. And maybe that's all the difference you need to advance. But give me San Diego State in the points. I'm fascinated by that matchup because you have the super fast pace of the Crimson Tide against a rather slow pace of San Diego State. So, and both teams really like to use, you know, they're capable of using pretty big rotation. So give me the Aztecs and the points. I wouldn't think it was that crazy if they won on the money line, but they have to do what Oklahoma did or what Tennessee did and lock them down and play really slow.
Yeah, you can't. You don't want to do a same game parlay with San Diego State and the over, probably.
Yeah.
If they win, it's going to be a low scoring game, most likely. That's good stuff. Let's move over to another one seed and one of the, you know, elite defense again. The Houston takes on Miami. Houston favored by a touchdown here, -7. Talk me through this one.
This is another one. I'd say like it's another one that really catches my eye. You got two very elite coaches, and Jim Larrañaga, who took George Mason to the Final Four, took Miami to the Elite Eight last year.
We don't talk about George Mason around me, okay?
Oh, that's right.
UConn, man.
I get it. I'm connecting the dots here. That was a fantastic game to watch, though.
Yeah.
Then you have the Houston Cougars. You know, Kelvin Sampson took him to the Final Four a couple years ago. Also, he's, you know, been to the Final Four, I think, with Oklahoma. And so you got two proven coaches that are collecting Social Security. You know, I'm fascinated by that angle. But I also think Miami kind of caters to the style that Houston plays. If you look at Miami's real problems, I think, throughout the past 2 years, because this is an experienced team, just like Houston's experience. But Miami kind of gets beat by really big teams, right? I feel like that's one of the weaknesses when you go back and look at some of their losses. The really big teams get them. Houston kind of plays small ball and puts a lot of guards on the court, which is kind of exactly what Miami does. So I think it's a fascinating game because of that. Isaiah Wong, Nigel Pack are stud guards that I think are going to be able to go. The big question to me is, can they step it up defensively against the Houston guards? Because we know the Houston guards can play really good defense. But I think the real X factor is Norchad Omier, the big man that Miami brought in from Arkansas State. I think he could be a problem for Houston. And that's
Do you think he's fully healthy now? Do you think he's...
I think so. And I think when he played, he looked better than what I thought he would look. If that makes sense.
Now he's an extra 5 days to rest.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, he can't get injured, you know, if he was to re-injure that or tweak that, I think Miami's chances of winning the game go down, you know, with it. But I like Miami in the points here. I like Miami in the points, but they got to start out aggressive, because if you start out cold against Houston, you can lose right away. Like, you get a Houston gets a 20-point lead or 15-point lead, it's over, because the way they play defense, I think they can
boa constrictor. Yeah. They just kind of they squeeze the life out of you. Don't let you really move the ball much and slow it down. So 30-second possessions, and then.
But I think Larrañaga is a good enough coach. You know, this is a guy that I think is criminally underrated as a head coach, and I think he's a good enough coach. You know, to go back to that run. I know the one that you hate against UConn. You know, but he beat
the game shouldn't have been held there anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
True. In DC, true. But but look, we can't deny the facts that run.
It was incredible.
They beat Calhoun, Jim Calhoun, Larrañaga beat. He beat Roy Williams. He beat Tom Izzo and Greg Marshall, who was at Wichita, who was actually a good coach, but, you know, he got in some trouble. But that's why I'm saying Larrañaga, I think, will have a game plan that can keep the Hurricanes in this game. I'm taking the points with Miami, despite me having Houston to win it all.
All right, I like it. This game, probably not one that many expected. We got Princeton versus Creighton. The Blue Jays -10 here. I got to be honest, this game is the one I'm probably least excited to watch. I really was hoping Yale would make it in from the Ivy League, like having lived in New Haven for as long as I did. But it wasn't meant to be. The game was in Princeton. So, yeah, I mean, they had
an advantage
there. It's like the
George Mason thing all over
again. Yeah. Yeah, but they played well. They really surprised me in their last game. I did not think they would even cover. I thought they would get just kind of walked over. But here they are in the Sweet 16 against a really strong Creighton squad. Curious to hear your thoughts. Is this one of the games that you're least excited in, or can you hype me up for this one too?
Well, I'll tell you this. I had to power rank all of them on the show I did last night, and I put this one at last because of the potential, but just because of the potential of a blowout. I thought Missouri was going to beat Princeton. I thought Arizona was going to beat Princeton, and I got to give them credit. I got to give them credit because, I mean, I kind of think that wasn't a fluke. I think they were better than both teams. You know, the Furman win against Virginia, you could say, kind of a fluke. You know, they got the right bounces at the right time and made their shots at, you know, credit to them, but when you watch the Princeton games, I watched the Missouri game a second time, just in the office, and I'm like, they were just better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they were just out rebounding them, out scheming them, in my opinion, as far as the backdoor cuts and everything. I felt like they were just attacking them. I have Creighton going far, so, and I think Creighton's really good, but I can tell you this, I have a little bit of concern with the 10-point spread, because Creighton is not the greatest. Like, Princeton's a great offensive rebounding team. That's a weakness of Creighton's. So I see some spots where Princeton could perhaps take advantage. But I also wonder, like, how long can they play at that level? How long can they play at that level? And it wouldn't. And Creighton's a team that I think was a lot better than their actual end of the year record because of Ryan Cockbrenner's injury. So I'm going to take the points, but I do still fear that, like, this could be like a 30-point game. It's potential. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still going to take the points though, because I've seen them look really good two tournament games, and Arizona and Creighton are on the same talent level. You know what I mean? Like that, that's one where you just got to say, wow, they did this. So credit to them. And then I also wonder, like, is there a chance that'll be a Princeton crowd?
Oh, that would be silly. But I guess
in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm like, wait, that's not that far from New Jersey. You know what I mean? Like, and they have money to travel, like the alumni.
Right.
I was like, maybe that. And I don't know. I'm interested to see myself. Alabama's also playing in that field, and you got to think, if Ella, you know, the fans would probably be rooting for Princeton there. So that's another angle to think about. But give me the 10. I don't love it, but we'll see. What do you do?
It's a big line. It's one thing for, like, you know, in football, a backdoor cover is a lot easier because, you know, touchdown is 6 points. you only get a three-pointer, you know. But I could see this game, again, like you said, it feeling really out of hand. Creighton just has taken care of business. But, you know, maybe Princeton, with their ability to get second chance points down the stretch, maybe they can at least keep it close enough that this 10 points is all we need.
I mean, so how do we have how do we have an Ivy League school 12th in the nation in rebounding? That's fascinating. Yeah, that's fascinating to me. But yeah,
This is like the first tournament that my kids have really gotten into sports, and like they got really into the World Cup a couple months back, and so since then it just kind of like trickled into everything else. So like they've been my oldest actually did pick the Purdue upset.
So, oh wow.
Yeah had no idea what they like. I picked that one as a joke. I was like, that was funny joke.
gotta flex that one right.
we were just talking, I forget where I was going with this story. They were like, wait, so these guys go to Princeton and then they play basketball, like how do they do that with all the school and all that, like. And I was telling them, like, yeah, the Ivy League schools, like, they have different rules around giving out scholarships and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, well, how are they winning this game? I was like, I don't know how they're winning this game. That's why it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't be, and here they are. And like you said, like, you wouldn't expect to see them with such great rebounding numbers. It's just not what you would expect. You would expect, you know, a lot of high percentage shooting numbers, well, which, you know.
And I mean, look at Arizona and look at Missouri. I think Kobe Brown will be playing in the NBA. I think a lot of Missouri's team will be playing at least professional somewhere. I would say like 4 out of 5 starters, maybe 5 out of 5 starters will be playing pro ball somewhere in the world. Arizona's got 2 or 3 guys that'll be in the NBA. And it's like, what? Princeton's got zero. You know what I mean? Princeton's got one guy, maybe 2 guys that could potentially be playing pro somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bolivia maybe or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
it's fascinating. And that's why this tournament's so amazing, is because of situations like that where, and that wasn't a fluke. Go watch the tape. Right. The tape will tell you everything. Yeah. Fascinating game there. Give me Princeton the points. I hope it's not a blowout.
Yeah. I like it. Let's hit this last game here. We've got Xavier versus Texas. The Longhorns, favored here. What's my number? I just had it.
Four.
-4. Yeah. So Texas, Disu, Rice, they look really, really good. It's hard for me to not want to trust this Texas, the players on this team. They look like they're ready to make a deep run in this tournament. So I'm kind of leaning Texas -4 here. Xavier was one of those teams. I was like, surely they're going to come back and win. And I got them, I think, -2. In that first game where they had to come all the way back. So I was like one of the only ones that I actually cashed, but they've been struggling off and on. Where do you sit with this? Do you think Texas wins this one kind of easily like I do, or do you think this is going to be a struggle?
I mean, I think Texas is the better team, and I'm taking the -4. I was a bit surprised by the line. I thought it should have been more, and that always makes me weary. Right?
Like, yeah, right.
Xavier is one of the most experienced teams in the nation, just like Texas is. But, you know, I thought this line would be at like 7, 7.5. I was shocked that it was at 4, which just has me always hesitant. Now, I've already placed my bets on Texas just because I believe Texas is – I actually think Texas might have a decent shot to win the national championship. But – Xavier is super experienced, and for a one game, this is not a 7-game series. For one game,
right?
It's certainly Sule Boom has been in college for like 30 years. I feel like,
and has one of the best names.
Yes,
for any sport.
and the only reason
he should be
why,
a kicker, really.
The only reason why Big East fans don't remember him is because he's been at every other university. He was at San Francisco. You know, Gonzaga fans will remember him from him having great games against them. Then he goes down to UTEP and has success there. They missed the NCAA tournament, but he was their best player. So he's been at every stop you can imagine. He's a guy that's capable of taking a game over. Now, Xavier, the line just doesn't make sense to me. I'm on Texas. I'm hammering it. But I wonder, you know, it just doesn't make – I'm thinking also another thing is, I mean, I don't know. Texas fans travel well too. I think it should be about 50-50. I think Texas is going to win this game. They're the better team. I know Rodney Terry doesn't have the tournament experience, you know, similar to I mean, Sean Miller's got the advantage in NCAA tournament games coached.
Yeah, does it bother you at all, like Texas's coach leaving halfway through the season, like Beard?
Originally, yeah, I thought it meant they were cooked, and credit to Rodney Terry. And actually, I do believe this. Credit to the way that they're handling this. They didn't extend him, and I think they should extend him, but I like the fact they're not doing it so the players are playing for their coach, I think. They want to see him extended and you know, have job security and be a head coach. That's another angle that I like about this. I don't think Texas is the better team, but I am shocked at that line. I'll hammer Texas -4, but I don't understand how they came up with that line.
Yeah, so a quick philosophical question here, because you said you thought maybe -7 made would have been where kind of you projected it. So over on DraftKings, you could get Texas -7 at +145. Would you ever, or do you ever bet alt lines to get a better return? Or is that something you're just like, no, just give me the -110 or the money line?
No, I think occasionally I do, but also sometimes when the lines are this, you know, stinky in a way, it also scares me off of them sometimes. Like,
sure.
Like, who was it? The Duke Tennessee game. I was ready to go all in on Duke. And then I was like, wait, why is this line so small? I kind of thought Duke should have been, you know, another 3.5-4 point favorite. But it was, you know, I'm sorry. I thought it should have been like 6 or 7. It was 3. And then Tennessee wins the game outright. So I was like, Vegas knew something I don't know, because I don't understand how they, like, if you, any way you throw those numbers together, you're not going to get that, at least from what we can tell, you know. And I know some guys and that make the lines and stuff. And I was a bit shocked at that. So that always could be an issue too, but yeah, I've done the alt lines a few times. I like it in football more, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And how, where do you stand on doing some parlays here? Would you do any moneyline parlays with any of these shorter lines, or parlays just something that you kind of statistically, you know, you typically,
I like the parlay.
Gambler loses on parlays, but you,
I
like
it. It's still fun. It's fun.
Yeah, you know, oh yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I mean, I've already placed. I did the coaching parlay here of. I went Musselman +4, and then I did Jerome Tang +2. We'll see if that hits. I've also placed a moneyline play on the Miami Hurricanes, but we'll see.
Nice. So those are some of the plays you like, the Hurricanes. You mentioned Texas.
Oh, yeah. The Texas one, like, was my favorite play, because I think they're gonna, I kind of backed off how big I was going to bet it, because sure. Because of the line stinking. So actually my largest wager of the day is on Miami and Florida Atlantic.
As a parlay or two individuals?
Those are two individual ones. But you know
okay,
what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what, though? I might even do that as a I like the Florida Atlantic's chances to win the game outright. So I like that parlayed with Miami and the points. Don't take both on the money line. Take both.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good advice right there. Although 2 years ago I had a parlay that included the Ohio Bobcats beating Virginia.
Oh,
and y'all would have been so proud of me. Because it was like cash out. And I was like, no, baby, I'm going to let it ride. We're doing this. I just knocked my mic over because I got so excited remembering that moment. But yeah, I just was like, I'll go down with the ship at this point. This is too exciting. And yeah. Oh, awesome. Those Bobcats.
Awesome. Love that game. That game was wild. I remember watching that game.
Yeah, that's great. So given the teams, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but you might be ready for this anyway. Given the teams that are left, what is your final four? Who are the teams that escaped this weekend?
Oof, this is good. I like this. Well, I will go. I think Alabama probably gets past San Diego State, so we'll put Alabama in the Elite Eight. Then they are going to be taking on Creighton, I believe. I actually think I'm going to put Creighton in the final four.
Ooh.
I think they can give Alabama some problems from an offensive standpoint. But I am always scared. I mean, to both those coaches haven't had deep tournament runs. So, you know, that would be a fascinating element there. In the East region, I'm going to take Florida Atlantic to beat Tennessee, and then I'm going to take – this one is like a toss-up to me. I really have a hard time picking this game. Give me Kansas State to win the game. I don't know. I feel like this is a 50-50 game, though. I feel like that's the hardest game to really forecast in this whole remaining Sweet 16. But and then they would get Florida Atlantic, and I find that game fascinating. I actually think if you're a Florida Atlantic fan, you want to play Kansas State and not Michigan State, because I think Michigan State will beat. I'll put – man – you know what? If it's Kansas State, I could see Florida Atlantic winning that game. But give me the winner of the Michigan State Kansas State game in the Final Four. I'm not going to go with the Super Cinderella. So give me K-State. Houston. I think that Houston Miami game is fascinating. Let's give me Houston to get past them. Give me Texas to get past Xavier, and then that game is fantastic. That's is an unbelievable game. Because I really believe Texas could beat him. I think Texas probably has the more talented roster. But Samson has the experience. I'll still take Houston. It's in Houston. So, but even that could be a Texas crowd.
Yeah. Texas ain't. Yeah.
Then I have UCLA beating Gonzaga in what should be another great game. I have Arkansas beating UConn, and then
UCLA. You do.
I have UCLA beating Arkansas. So, that would be the way I have the Final Four, but I'll be honest, what's so great about college basketball is I don't think anybody is going to be able to nail this. If you do, you got lucky, because college basketball has been there's so much parity. The sport's never been healthier, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that take, because I hear some people talking about like, oh, the transfer portal's ruining it. You've got all these kind of nothing schools making deep runs and good programs not being able to be historically great anymore. Like, there's not the consistency. And like, man, that's what March Madness is all about, though. Like, that's what we love. Well,
and I mean, they were cheating. Like, the top schools were cheating forever.
They were doing it already. Yeah.
Now it's legal to cheat, essentially. And guess what? Other teams. And also, I mean, for years, let's be honest. And like, look, I love some of these classic coaches as much as the next guy, but there's a reason why the transfer portal got crazy. All right. And it was an overreaction, because for decades, probably 30 or 40 years, coaches would be assholes and say, you know what? I know you're not going to get any minutes on this team, but you're not transferring. You're not transferring because I'm blocking your transfer. So, you know, ridiculous. You know, you're just looking for a better opportunity, and you're going to penalize them for not fitting into your schemes. You know what I mean? And so you finally have.
But then they'll be happy to jump at the first opportunity to make, you know, X million more.
Yeah, absolutely. And come on, like, you know, to do that to guys that aren't even going to see the time in your schemes, I feel like is criminal. And then so for 40 years that it was happening, maybe 50 years. And guess what? It finally swings the other way. And of course it swings kind of far the other way, but this is what happens. You guys deserve all of that, in my opinion. You know what I mean? But I think it also strengthens the game. You might not have for the lay fan that won't remember Sule Boom because he was at UTEP last year. Fair. All right. But at the same time, the games are going to be better, and you're seeing it with a 15 winning every week. Or every year, I'm sorry. Every week.
And one of the reasons, like, I, for a while, kind of hated all these upsets. Like, I like the very first game upsets, but then going deeper, I'm like, I don't really want to see a 15 seed in the Sweet 16, because it's just less competitive matches moving forward. But there's only one line that's in double digits this weekend. Like, we expect these, for the most part, to be pretty close, pretty fun. I mean, the amount of games that you're excited about, the amount of games that I'm excited about, there's a lot of really good, fascinating storylines and skilled teams that we get to watch. So I don't think it's watering down the sport at all either. Like, I don't think it's hurting the product. I think it's fun. I'm excited. This is going to be an awesome 4 days. And, you know, for you soccer fans, we've got some Euro qualifying matches coming up too, which I can't get enough of. So we're in for a good weekend. A lot of sports to keep our attention. But Colby, thank you so much again for joining me today. Again, you can find Colby over at the College Football or College Basketball Experience. Thank you again for joining me. You guys have a lot of podcasts out right now on the tournament. So if you want some more in-depth coverage, go listen to them. Last week, they were the ad right before the show. So maybe you just heard an ad by the Sean Green. So go check them out as well. Follow them because they're always giving out great content and having a lot of fun in the process. We were talking before the show, and yeah, the second I started listening to you, I was like, these guys are crazy. And then I just kept listening. I was like, I like these guys. So give Colby and the fellas a listen. It's always a good time. Colby, appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your expertise with us.
Oh, appreciate you having me. And yeah, it's always a blast, man. And thank you so much, and excited to watch these games. And yeah, looking forward to it. Let's make it happen again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. I was gonna say we'll be back, but this is a one-off show. I don't know if we're gonna be back before the Final Four, but who knows? Well, we'll see. I'll probably get something out there. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you later.